Stick with the Love. In that tall, thin house in Southwick Street, the Lowndes family are just about to sit down to lunch. There's a nip in the air that suggests that winter is here to stay, but it's a beautiful day, bright and brisk, so let's drop in on Ben and see how he feels about it. Ah, this is the kind of weather I really enjoy. Just take a breath of that cool air. It makes you glad to be alive. Nothing but a calamity could spoil a day like this for me.
Barbara's cooking the dinner tonight.
There's a calamity.
Now, Ben, sit down and have your lunch.
All right, dear.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. This is the very first dinner party they've given in their little house. I told Robin about it this morning, and he's crazy to go.
I remember the last dish she cooked. It was Italian raviolis with real hot sauce.
It was a wonderful sauce. Your father had a spoonful, and he was speechless.
You're right. I couldn't speak for 3 days.
Now, stop making things up. I heard you tell her that she could bottle that sauce and sell it.
She could. It would make a wonderful weed killer.
I think you're both horrible.
Ma, I didn't say anything against her hot sauce. It did me a lot of good.
How do you mean?
Well, before I ate it, I used to get tonsillitis every year.
Mm-hmm.
And now do you know what?
No tonsillitis?
No tonsils.
Oh, dear, that's a good one, son.
All right, you can laugh, but believe me, after you eat Barbara's cooking tonight, you'll never laugh again.
That's what we're afraid of.
Then stay home.
Oh, look, honey, we were only kidding. We wouldn't miss Barbara and Russell's first dinner party for anything.
Just try and keep us away.
Oh, I'm so glad. You have no idea of all the surprises Barbara has for us.
Such as?
Well, she's starting off with Oriental hors d'oeuvres made from Chinese eggs that are 1,000 years old. And shark skins and squid.
You know, Richard, I don't know what we're really thinking about. We can't do this to Aggie. She's probably been cooking all day for us.
You're right. I'm sure she's expecting us for dinner.
I'm expecting you all right.
You see?
But I'd be glad to see you go out.
Now, wait a minute, Aggie. We wouldn't think of disappointing you.
But you would be. My favorite star is appearing at the Plaza this week. I wouldn't miss one of Marlon Brando's pictures for anything.
Oh, I don't blame you. He's a wonderful actor.
Yeah, he's terrific.
He's the best actor in the world.
The best? You really think he's the best?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I'll bet you can't name a better actor.
I could, but coming from me, it might sound as if I were bragging.
You mean yourself?
Aggie, I told you I don't want to brag.
Go on, Ben. Force yourself.
Well, don't misunderstand me, Aggie. I think Marlon Brando is a sterling actor, but I could have handled that part in Guys and Dolls just as well as he did.
Well, maybe you could. I must admit, I've had other people express a similar opinion.
You have?
Aye. When the neighbors' wee boys were building a bonfire on November the 5th, I had one of them say, Ben Lyon would make a perfect guy.
Lucky for you, good cooks are hard to get.
Aggie, it might interest you to know that Sam Goldwyn, the man who produced that film, gave my husband his first big chance in pictures.
Did he, Pop?
That's right, son. I'll never forget the day you saw my first big dramatic close-up. He rushed into my dressing room and said...
I feel sick.
Robin,
I got a terrible stomachache.
Oh, darling, come here to Mommy.
What's the matter, boy?
He's probably just overeating again.
Mrs. Lyon, his lips are blue. Oh, my poor baby. Ben, call a doctor. I can get a hot water bottle.
Now, Phoebe, calm down. The way you're all acting, you think he's swallowed poison. Now then, Robin, come over here and tell your dear old dad where you've been and what you've had to eat.
I went down to Barbara's and had a piece of a homemade pie.
Phoebe, call a doctor. Get the boy to bed right away.
Come on, darling.
I don't want to go to bed.
Well, that's where you're going.
Oh, Master Richard, don't look so worried. He'll be all right.
Oh, I can't help it. If a piece of pie does that to Robin, what's the whole dinner going to do to us?
Oh, he mustn't say those things. Just wait until tonight.
She said Robin has no temperature and his stomach pains are nothing serious.
Good.
Nevertheless, he's going to bed for a while. Robin, have you got the pajamas on yet?
Yes, Daddy, but I'm scrubbing my ears.
That kid would do anything to stay out of bed. I'm going and getting.
All right. Aggie, I think I'll put another pillow behind his head.
Aye. Well, I take this one off Master Richard's bed.
No, it looks rather lumpy.
Never mind. I'll shake it up a bit.
that pillow look lumpy?
I thought he always gets his money in his mattress.
He does. He must have opened a branch office.
There's a put these coins back, he'll have a fit, yes.
Now, come on, young man, into bed.
Oh, all right.
Now, doesn't that feel better, darling?
Well, I guess so, but I sure had a close call. Well, hi, Robin. I came to cheer you up. I figured tomorrow would be too late.
I suppose you didn't think of bringing me some grapes.
Well, no, but if you're really fond of grapes, I'd be glad to go out and buy you one.
Now, stop being such a spendthrift.
Aye, I'll go downstairs and get some orange.
Thanks, Aggie.
Oh, Mother! I'm in the boys' bedroom, dear.
Here comes Lucretia Borgia.
Now, Ben, please don't make fun of her cooking. She's very sensitive about it.
I'm sensitive about it, too.
Now, Robin, whatever you do, don't say it was her pie that made you ill. I told her you just weren't feeling well.
All right, Mommy.
Oh, my poor little brother. I'm so sorry you're ill. You were fine when you were in my house. How did you become ill all of a sudden?
It was easy as pie.
Oh, well, never mind, dear. I brought you something that will make you feel a lot better.
What did you bring me? Grapes?
Oh, no. A big jar of my homemade soup.
Oh.
This will really fix you up.
Yes, permanently.
Barbara, dear, I'll pour some in this cup.
Oh, thanks, Mother.
Mommy, I don't think I can manage anything right now. I've been pretty ill, you know.
Yes, but you're much stronger now.
I'm not that strong.
Well, then I'd better give you some castor oil.
Gosh, I lose either way.
And just what did you mean by that?
Oh, nothing, Barbara. I'll have the soup, Mommy.
That's a good boy. Now open your mouth and take it all down.
All right.
Robin, don't hold the soup in your mouth. Swallow it.
All right.
Alas, poor Robin, I knew him well.
Daddy, are you insinuating there's something wrong with my cooking?
Oh, no, dear.
Master Robin, I managed to find you a wee bunch of grapes.
Gosh, thanks, Aggie.
Oh, Barbara, would you like to borrow anything for your dinner party tonight?
Oh, yes, please. I'd like some curry powder.
And what are you going to use that for?
Oh, I don't know yet. I just add things as I go along. You see, I go to a very modern cooking school.
I'd like to see some of the results you're getting.
We've already seen one.
Hey, go on, Miss Barbara.
Well, Mrs. Baker's cooking school teaches us to use our imagination.
Well, they're right. No matter what I cook, I always put a little of my own brain in it.
That explains a lot.
Daddy, I'm going to have a special chili pepper sauce for all of you tonight.
Oh, now, don't go to all that trouble for us, honey.
No, why don't we all just take a box lunch?
Oh, don't be silly. I'm going to cook my family a dinner they'll never get over.
Well, come along, Miss Barbara. Let's go to the kitchen and see what you need.
Oh, thanks, Aggie.
I'm so thrilled about tonight.
I'm glad somebody is.
Hey,
what am I worrying about? I'm too sick to go.
Don't worry, Robin. I'll stay home and take care of you.
So will I.
There's no need to do that.
Baby, it's my duty as a father to see that my poor little boy has something light to eat. What would you like, son?
Oh, nothing much. Just some hot dogs and pickles and some chocolate ice cream and a tin of salted peanuts. I don't want to put anything too heavy on my poor little tummy.
You don't stop that. You're going to get something heavy on the other side of your poor little tummy.
Mommy.
And since you're feeling so well, you've come to Barbara's with us.
I'll get it.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, Barbara. Where are you taking that piano stool?
Oh, I'm borrowing it for my party tonight. I'm cooking my first dinner.
Blimey.
I only have room for the family at my little table, or I'd invite you. I'm terribly sorry.
I'm not.
What?
I mean, don't worry. I'll come some other time. Oh. Say about a year from now.
Well, Barbara, your mother says she has everything ready for you.
Thank you, Daddy.
Oh, hello, Wimpy. I thought you were coming over earlier.
I was, but the wife's gone to visit her mother and left me to take care of the kids.
Well, how is it going?
Oh, all right. But I've got a suspicion the little blighters have got it in for me.
Well, what makes you think that?
Oh, just little things, you know, a wire stretched across the top of the stairs. Cement in the porridge. You know, just a few little things like that.
Oh, poor old Whipple. Is there anything I can do to help?
Oh, no. You've got your own troubles. I understand Barbara's cooking your dinner.
Oh, don't remind me.
I know how you feel. Most women are shocking cooks, especially when they're first married.
Bebe still is. But I'll never forget the first meal she cooked for me. It was the most delicious coffee I ever tasted.
You mean that's all you had?
Oh, there would have been more, but the roast beef caught fire and fell in the suite, so we had to use the soup to put it out.
Well, I must say, I've never had that sort of trouble with my missus.
Your wife's really a priceless possession.
Oh, she is, yes, and I can prove it. I once received a letter from a cook saying, pay me £1,000 or I'll kidnap your wife.
Oh, that's awful. What did you do?
Well, I wrote back and said, I've only got 500. But still, your proposition interests me.
It serves me right for asking, but frankly, I'd be glad to pay a ransom to get out of eating Barbara's cooking tonight.
Was it? Well, half a mouth. I know how to do it.
Well, for heaven's sake, let's have it.
I'll tell her that my wife's out of town, and I'm miserable, and you don't want to leave me alone.
Well, what happens if she invites you to dinner?
She can't. She hasn't a room at her table.
You crafty old fox. That's about the best idea you've ever had.
Now, you sure you haven't forgotten anything, dear? I don't think so,
Barbara. Go on, Whipple, go on.
Oh, I don't mind. Barbara, my missus is out of town, and I'm very lonesome. So, do you mind if your father has dinner with me tonight?
Oh, he's going to. I've decided to have a buffet, and you're invited. Now, Mr. Wimple, what have you got to say to that? Oh, my goodness, I just remembered. I left my cake in the oven. I must rush home. Oh, wait a minute, Barbara. Your coat's in the cupboard here.
I don't know why she's in such a hurry. She won't be able to lift that cake out of the oven until Russell gets home.
I'm not laughing.
Oh, look, Wimple, I'm sorry I got you into this.
Oh, forget it. You know, I'd go through anything for you.
Oh, thanks.
I mean it. You could have my last penny. My last crust of bread.
Oh, now, don't go overboard.
Oh, it's true. And if we were surrounded by wild beasts, and I only had one bullet, I'd let you have it.
Thanks very much. Bebe, where's my desk lamp?
Oh, Barbara borrowed it. She'll bring it back right after the party.
Oh, that's not the point. She's going too far. I don't want her taking another thing out of this house. Now, do you understand?
Yes, dear.
Good.
I don't blame him.
Oh, I like the idea of her coming and borrowing things. Somehow it feels as if she hasn't left home.
Well, she hasn't. She's taken most of it with her.
Oh,
Robin, quick, hold on to the piano.
What is it, dear? I have 9 people coming to dinner, and I only have 6 chairs.
I knew it.
May I borrow 3 of yours?
Johnny, I'd gladly lend them to you, but if your father saw you taking them out of the house, well, he'd be furious.
Well, suppose he didn't see me.
Well, even so, they'd be too heavy for you to carry.
Not if the boys help me.
Look, Barbara, Pop's given an order, and we're not going against it. And that's final.
I'll give you both half a crown.
Which chair do you want?
Oh, just take any 3.
Okay. Come on, Richard. Let's get to work.
Now, boys, bring them over here and hide them behind the piano.
2 chairs coming up.
Here's mine. Now what?
Oh, go outside the front window, and we'll pass them out to you.
Okay. Oh, then we carry them over to your house.
Okay. Now, hurry up, Richard.
Don't rush me, kid. I'm a union man.
Come on, Barbara, open the window so we can be all ready for them.
All right.
You know, this reminds me of a game I used to play when I was a little girl.
Well, how did you play it, Mother?
Well, I don't remember, dear. You see, it's been months since I was a little girl.
Oh, Mother, not so many.
Oh, Bebe.
Oh, here he comes.
Oh, Bebe, do you... Oh, hello, Barbara. What are you doing here?
I was doing fine until you came in.
Huh?
I mean, I forgot something.
Hey, Barbara, we're ready.
Ben, why don't you go upstairs?
Wait a minute. What did he mean by Barbara, we're ready?
Oh, the boys are walking home with me.
But it's only across the road.
Oh, yes, but her brothers are so proud of her.
Hurry up, Barbara. We don't want anybody to see it.
Well, they certainly are proud of her.
Ben, why don't you fix the washer on the kitchen tap?
Oh, is the tap leaking?
Well, no, but there's no sense in waiting until the last minute.
Don't be ridiculous.
Say, what about those three chairs for Barbara?
Three chairs for Barbara?
Sure. Hip it.
Hooray! What's the matter with Richard?
Richard who?
Well, that's a silly question to ask.
What's a silly question?
Who's Richard?
He's your son. Ben, really, you better see a doctor.
Daddy, that's the door.
I'm glad you confirmed it. I thought I had bells in my head.
Quiet, Edith, quiet. I'm coming.
I wonder who it is.
It was me. Quick, hand us those chairs out the window before he gets back.
All right. There you are, Richard.
All right, Ma.
Here's one for you, Robin.
I got it. Let go.
Well, of all the silly things.
Oh, quick, boys. I have to close the window. I'll open it as soon as Daddy's gone.
Okay. We'll wait for the signal.
Well, how do you like that?
Who was it, dear?
Nobody. Say, who closed the window?
Well, I did. It's cold in here, isn't it, Mother?
Oh, yes, it's freezing.
You can't be. This room's stifling and it's full of smoke from the darn fire.
Oh, Daddy, please don't open the window. We'll catch cold.
I have to. I'm choking.
Mother sneeze.
Don't worry, I'll close it.
Well, I'm going to open it.
Achoo! I'm going to shut it.
I'm going to open it.
Achoo! Achoo! Achoo!
Bibi, what kind of a game do you think you're playing?
Craps.
Well, I'm getting out of here.
Quick, Mother, let's get these chairs out.
Don't panic. We won't take long, darling. Don't
panic. No, but if it's going to take a long time to move the standard lamp and the coffee table.
Oh, all right. Open the window, dear.
Here's Barbara's and Russell's house.
Oh, isn't it adorable? Just look at that quaint little front door.
Well, we'll never get through it if you don't ring the bell.
It isn't a bell, Daddy. They got door chimes now.
Yes, Barbara has them especially made. Listen.
Trust my sister to get that in.
Quiet, Martin. Hello, family. Hello, Aunt Laura.
Hello.
Come right in, everybody.
Oh, thank you, darling. Your little house is simply a dream, isn't it, Ben?
Yes. You seem to have a lot more furniture since I saw you last. Where did you get it, honey?
I just picked it up.
Well, it's very attractive. How much did you pay for that lamp standard? I bought one just like it.
Oh, Ben, stop being so nosy. Come and sit down, dear.
Well, if it isn't my sweet little 32-year-old mother-in-law.
Russell, dear.
Well, how's our favorite son-in-law? I'm fine, Ben. Here, give me your coats and I'll hang them up.
Yes. Hi, Russ.
Hi, Russ.
Hi, boys. You can hang your own coats up.
Boy, just like home.
Now, sit down, everybody, and make yourselves comfortable.
Say, Bibi, doesn't this coffee table remind you of ours?
Oh, no, dear, no. Ours is much darker.
I know, but it's the same sort of shape.
I hope you'll forget the way I look, but well, I've been cooking all day.
Well, you'd never know it from your appearance. I was only just thinking, you're getting to look more like your mother every day, don't you think so, Russell?
She certainly has Bibi's eyes.
Yes, but she has my nose and mouth.
Do you think Barbara has anything else of mine, Russell?
Yes, half your furniture.
What did you say?
He said, she's half her father.
You know, Russell, it's surprising what similar tastes we have.
Well, how do you mean, Ben?
Well, you have just the sort of furniture I like to live with. In fact, it could almost have come out of our house.
You don't say.
Yes, now, take that chair. I'll bet if you looked in my den, you'd find one exactly like it.
I'll bet he wouldn't.
Well, it probably isn't as comfortable as mine. You know, Russ, my chair fits me so well, I'd know it in the dark, just by sitting on it.
You would?
I certainly would. I think I'll try yours, just to see the difference.
Oh, don't do it, Ben. It's terribly uncomfortable. Here, let me sit on it.
Well, if it's so uncomfortable, why do you want to sit on it?
I've got a persecution complex.
Well, I always knew you had some sort of a complex.
I wonder why Mr. Wimple isn't here.
Just lucky, I guess.
Richard, stop those silly jokes.
Oh, that must be Wimple now. I'll let him in.
Hello. How was the dinner?
Well, we haven't started yet. Where have you been?
Oh, it took me a long time to get here.
But it's only a few yards. How could it take you so long?
Well, I ran into a headwind.
Here, give me your coat, Mr. Wimple.
Ah.
Well, I better go and see how the dinner's coming on.
I hope you're all going to like it. You're having Chinese hors d'oeuvres, Italian minestrone, German pot roast, green salad, and French dressing. And guess what you're having after that?
An English doctor.
Oh, Mr. Wimple, no. You're going to have some of my bottled raspberries and cream.
Well, as a matter of fact, Barbara, I never touch raspberries unless they're my wife's.
Oh, I forgot. Your wife's an expert, isn't she?
Oh, yes. She once won a contest for her bottled raspberries. She was voted queen. She was voted queen, what I said, of 1954.
Well, I'll try to do my best to live up to her standards.
Everybody. Barbara says dinner's almost ready.
Good, I'm hungry.
While you're waiting, try some of these olives and pick a walnut.
Oh, I'm afraid we've eaten them all.
Well, I think you might have saved some for Florrie and me.
Yes, I always feel like a pickled walnut.
No comment.
Never mind, Florrie. We can have some of Barbara's hors d'oeuvres.
Yes. Where are they?
They're gone.
You mean you finished those as well?
Oh, they're finished, all right.
Oh, yeah, but you buried them in the garden.
You buried Barbara's hors d'oeuvres in the garden?
Well, we had to. It was either them or us.
If I were your father, I'd give you a darn good hiding.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Russell. Those hors d'oeuvres were so full of Chinese red peppers, I dropped one on the floor and it burned a hole in the carpet.
It didn't.
I'm afraid so.
Well, look, don't tell Barbara. She'll be terribly upset.
Oh, don't worry. She'll think we ate them all up.
She won't. I heard what you said.
Oh, but honey, they were too hot.
For your information, the hole in that carpet was already there. You were just making excuses because you didn't want to eat my cooking.
How can you say that, darling?
Because it's true. How could you be so mean after I slaved over a hot stove all day?
Sweetheart, please.
Russell, this is a matter just between my family and me.
Well, wait a minute. They're my family now.
Well, you're welcome to them.
Barbara.
I mean the men. If you can call them that.
Oh, don't be upset, darling. We're all looking forward to your dinner, aren't we?
Of course.
Oh, sure.
Oh, please don't cry, Barbara.
No.
I'm not crying. I'm too mad to cry. I wouldn't think of crying.
Lummy, I wonder what she does when she cries.
If you'll excuse me, I think I'd better go out and talk to her.
I'll come with you. I hope you're all very, very proud of yourselves.
I feel like a heel.
That's right. Be yourself. And as far as you boys are concerned, you're getting as bad as your father, and there's nothing worse I could say about you.
Well, gosh, we're going to eat her dinner. What greater sacrifice could we make?
I'm afraid you're not going to get the chance.
What do you mean?
Barbara's just giving it to the dog.
Well, you see what we meant, Russell?
I'm beginning to.
Everybody and go over to our house.
What for?
There's plenty of food in the larder. You can fix dinner for yourselves.
Oh, I'll cook it for them, even though they don't deserve it.
But what about Barbara?
You all go ahead. I'll bring her over later. Come on, everybody. Florrie says dinner's almost ready.
Where's Barbara?
She went in the kitchen to talk to Florrie.
Ma, we're terribly sorry about everything.
We sure are.
Well, I should think you would be.
Oh, now, Phoebe, don't rub it in. I'm thoroughly ashamed of myself. I've been a fine example of a father. As far as my poor little girl is concerned, I've behaved like a perfect stranger.
Don't overdo it, then.
I mean it, Russell. But I'm going to be different from now on. When Barbara walks in here, you know what I'm going to say to her?
No.
Darling, I'm going to be a father.
Well, that's the first I've heard of it.
Baby, I mean I'm going to be a real father. That is, if you'll forgive me.
Pop, maybe you'd better let me apologize to Barbara for all of us.
All right, son, but make it sincere.
Well, come and get it, everybody. Just look what Aunt Florrie made for you. Now hurry and eat it before it gets cold.
We will, dear. But first, Richard has something he wants to say.
Yeah. Barbara, on behalf of Pop, Robin, and myself, we apologize for our fatuosity.
Completely fabricate those sentiments.
all of you, but, oh, honestly, I've forgotten all about it.
Well, that's more than they deserve. Well, here's the rest of the dinner. I'll just put it on the table, and you can all help yourself.
Well, Glory, this is a banquet.
What's that? It's just look at that food. Beef, macaroni, stuffed peppers, hot butter scones. Oh, boy.
These green peppers are delicious.
You certainly are a wonderful cook.
Well, I took my mother's advice. She always said the way to a man's heart was through his stomach.
At your age, that's the only route you can take.
What do you mean, at my age? I'll have you know I'm still in the springtime of my life.
Well, you must have had a terrible winter.
Now, just for that, I won't give you a second helping.
Oh, yes, you will. I must congratulate you. This is the finest meal I've ever tasted.
Yeah.
I think Barbara deserves a little praise, too, for being such a good sport.
You certainly do, honey. It's darn sweet of you not to be angry with us.
Well, how can I be angry? Well, you've all been so nice about my cooking.
Well, your cooking?
Yes. This is the dinner Barbara prepared for you at her house.
What? Yes. We just carried it over and warmed it up.
Well, I'll be darned. Darling, I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Daddy.
Well, what do you know? I married a cook.
Phoebe, imagine a daughter of yours growing up to be a good cook.
Well, stranger things than that could happen. Richard might grow up to be a comedian.
That was Life of the Lion, with B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyon, with our children, Barbara and Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Horace Percival, Molly Weir, Russell Turner, and Richard Belair. The script was by Bob Locke, Ronnie Hambury, and B.B. Daniels. The incidental music was by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the Variety Orchestra. Production by Tom Ronald.